Welcome, everyone. Welcome this evening. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I remind members of their obligations of the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interests, please declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will be invited back to join the meeting once discussion on the item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where councillors considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on any issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once the chamber have spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay. Do we have any apologies?
Yeah, Chair, we have apologies from Councillors Finn, McAteer, McAvoy, Treesdale, and also from St. Kelly, and Valerie Hart as well.
Okay. Thank you. So, moving on to Chairperson's remarks, one of a few things, just as we come to the end of summer, I want to take a moment to recognise and praise the Council staff, the community volunteers who have worked tirelessly to deliver such a diverse range of family and tourist events across our district. Moreham Point, Strangford, Arglass, Newton Hamden, Hilltown, to name just a few. There's hardly been a weekend without activity supported by our Council. These events not only contribute to our local economy, but more importantly, they help bring people together, strengthening connections, and making Newry more than down a vibrant and welcoming place to live. Last weekend was no exception, and I want to extend congratulations to the organisers of Newry Pride for another successful celebration of inclusion and diversity. I'd also like to give special mention to one of our very own, Veronica McVeigh, and her family who opened up their beautiful sunflower field on the Stratford Road. On behalf of everyone in the Chamber, I wish the McVeigh family every success in their efforts to raise funds for their chosen charities. I also welcome Council's continued investment in play parks across the district. The recent upgrades in Saville, Mullabon, Belize, and Arglass are a wonderful addition to these villages and will provide countless hours of fun and play for local children. Finally, it is especially important to highlight the upgrade in the facilities at Trella Beach, which will now offer improved disability access. This is a meaningful step in removing barriers and enabling people of all abilities to enjoy our stunning Keel coastline. So, any declarations of interest, members? No? Okay, moving on to item 3 on the agenda, which is the action sheet arranged from the council previous council meeting, and we'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. Any matters arising? No? Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Sergeantner, Lee Sergeantner. Seconder? Councillor Payne. Thank you, Councillor Payne. Moving on to the minutes of Council meeting held, or sorry, Audit and Committee meeting held on the, sorry, Council meeting held on the 4th of August 2025. Go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. Any matters arising? Mr. Andrews?
Thanks so much, Chair. I'm just wondering, has there been any update in regards to the recent notice of motion regarding the vote needs to be reduced to 16? Has there been any correspondence back from any relevant bodies that it was directed to?
No, all correspondence has been tabled.
Seconder, please. Mr. Diablo? Seconder?
You're on the minutes, Chair.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on them.
I second. Mr. Reddick?
Yeah, Chairman, it was just on the aspect of the reply from the Minister by the Home Office regarding the fishermen. And I had suggested that we ask the Southern College to liaise with the Council to see if we could develop a centre of excellence for fishermen. But the Northern Ireland Fish Producers Organisation has done a lot of work on this already, and they have developed various advanced facilities. And I'd be grateful, they have indicated that they will accommodate a visit from the Council. So if we could write to them, Marie, and ask them or arrange a visit for interested councillors, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
If that proposal comes to ready. Sir Hannah, thank you. Okay, item number 5 on the agenda. Moving on to minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 31st of June. June for accuracy. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Do we have any matters arising? Do I have a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please?
I'll be a proposer.
Mr. Sharman, seconder. Councillor Gilbreth, thank you. So, Councillor Gilbreth, you're not a member of the Audit Committee. We have a seconder for Councillor O'Hara. Okay. Moving on to item 6 on the agenda, which is the Minister of Economy and Regeneration Committee. The Through for Accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. Any matters arising? Mr. Andrews?
I'm happy to propose the minutes. I'm just wondering if there's any update on Parliament since the last meeting. Has anything been initiated? Thank you.
Have a seconder, just.
I'm happy to sign them. Can I have ask a question as well? Yes, the director. This weekend, the Eaton Beach is on this weekend, Connor, so it is, and sure everybody's looking forward to it. I know the format's slightly changed and they're not just going as late in the evening. Quite a number of people have been in contact with me. They're concerned about something, and I'm going to raise it with you now. Is the council prepared that if whenever the Eaton Beach and the music and all is ongoing, has the council taking steps in case any group or any participant in the singing or anything that does any sort of a political statement or any sort of activity like that, have you set and organised there to prevent that happening?
Yeah, I'll maybe come back and respond to both questions, if that's okay. Firstly, to Councillor Andrews, the Delamont project has been assigned within the Capital Projects team. And they will be moving through to appointment of a consultant team to make that, to take that forward. So that's in their programme of works. With respect to the Eats and Beats, we would always be monitoring any event and content and ensuring that there's measures in place within the events plan to react to any material that would be deemed to be unsuitable or inappropriate. And Eats and Beats, please.
Thank you, Chair, for the reassurance.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes, Chairman, it's just to follow up on what Councillor Hannah said. There were a number of Palestinian flags in Newcastle, and the number I can show you the number of emails and phone calls that I got complaining about them, because the AOH went through Newcastle and the Pride of Mahara went through Newcastle. They all had their flags or paraphernalia down that night, and yet these Palestinian flags were left up for a long period of time, Chairman. And it was alienating a lot of the community. I know, Chairman, it's a very emotional subject.
It's not on the agenda. It's not for discussion.
It's not on the agenda.
It's not for discussion.
It's our responsibility, Chairman.
If it's not on the agenda, it's not for discussion.
But it's our responsibility, Chairman, to work with the business community in Newcastle and do our best for them. Not to hinder them.
If it's not on the agenda, it's not for discussion. Moving on to item 7, Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee. And we'll go through the minutes for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. Any matters arising? Those are the seconder for accuracy, sorry. Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just an item regarding the play park.
Sorry, the proposal and seconder for. How would you propose? You know, proposal and seconder, please. That's some others. Seconder.
Yeah, I'm happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Sharon. Councillor Devlin.
Yep, sorry, Chair, I'm not in the committee, just because I didn't want to be proposing that. It's just the item regarding the play park services. I know that item was in committee, so I'll not be straying into that. I'm just wondering, have we any timeline for when those works will be complete? They're very welcome. Should we say it's been dragging on for a while?
Chair, can we pick that up and revert back to you? We'll just, we have to do a programme of work around that, so we'll come back with the timelines.
All right, okay. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Lewis.
Sure, thank you. It's just on page 6 there about the play parks. I know that that was in the committee, so I won't try into it, but I had raised about the state of the old rubber matting at Maracara Play Park, and that all the officers had said that they would come back to me on that, so it's just to remind that point, please.
Through the chair, we'll come back on those queries. Councillor Lewis.
Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. It's just about regarding item 135, residual waste. The correspondence back.
Councillor Gibbons.
Sorry, Chair.
Councillor Gibbons, if that's the item 135 residual waste contract is actually a business case. And was it a closed session item just?
And can I not talk on that, Marino?
It's a closed session item. We need to go into closed session. But if you're referring to the correspondence, which is on later on the agenda, maybe.
Right, okay. Yes, sorry. Yes, that's 100%. I have it. I'm reading it here just that it was. Okay, so it's going to pop up later in the agenda, Marie, yeah.
If you're referring to the business case, it was in relation to the residual waste contract. If you want to talk about that, that would have to go into closed session. If it's in relation to the correspondence regarding the harbour and regen, that's actually correspondence noted at item 11 within the council agenda.
So it's regarding the correspondence regarding the regen and the smell, the motion that went through a while ago.
Item 11 on the council agenda.
Okay, sorry about that. Sorry, Chair. Sorry for that confusion.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. Okay, so moving on to item number 8, Minutes of Acting Healthy Communities. Three papers for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, 13, and 14. A proposer and a seconder, please. Councillor Delphin. And Councillor Lee Sargent.
Yep, happy to second.
Any matters arising? No matters arising? Thank you. Item number 9 on the agenda, Minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee. You know, for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Page 6. Can I have a proposal and a seconder, please?
Chair, I'm happy to propose as an accurate record of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Young, thank you. Any matters arising? Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's just on page 2. I think a member had raised an item under the previous action sheet regarding dog filing. It was regarding the reporting tool for dog filing. I think in that there was an action there. I think that she had to maybe follow up with the councillor in terms of sort of time frames. Can I maybe get copied into that as well, Sinead? I know across the board, like many councillors, were just inundated with problems. I know in Newcastle, particularly in the Marguerite area, we've got huge issues there at the minute. So if there's some sort of timeline regarding that reporting tool would be really, really useful if that's possible, Chair.
Councillor Dalla. Okay, moving on to item number 10 of the agenda. Non-section, no issues. Moving on to item number 11, correspondence report. Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. As the person who the councillor took the motion to the floor, reply from Minister Clemens doesn't surprise me because that's exactly what I expected to come back. But on the night, it was basically the Alliance Party trying to shift the blame from their own minister and trying to take Minister Clemens into the equation as well. And it's clear from her response that she has no responsibility in relation to trust boards other than the appointment of the board and good governance. But the minister who does have responsibility is Minister Moore. And clearly the response I'm getting back here tonight is the same response the people of Bourne Point have been getting for the last 3 years, be that from Regen themselves or be that from the harbour. It's offering nothing to resolve the issue, basically saying that they're carrying out their surveys and whatever else, and they're finding nothing wrong on them particular days that they're in the harbour. But the problem is there's days when the smell is obvious throughout the town, and yet nobody is willing to take responsibility for it. And again, as I said, this response is really disappointing, disheartening. The minister thinks that that's acceptable, that he can wash his hands off the issue that is there in Warren Point and is still there. Not too long back, a couple of months back, on an issue not too far from Warren Point in Restrever, where this council were looking at the potential for the gondola, and the minister, without any information or without any knowledge of what exactly will take place, has basically jeopardised the potential for £30 million in our district and in the Crotlieve area. But yet here in Warren Point Harbour, which he does have a remit, he's not willing to do anything to solve the issue for the people of Warren Point. And I'm asking, Chair, that we write back to him and we ask him for him to attend the meeting here in the council. And also, could he provide us with the minutes of the meetings that were held with Regen and the Harbour Authority, so as the people can actually see transparently what is being discussed when he met with them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rand. Do you have a seconder for that proposal? Councillor Clark. Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I have no confidence in the responses back. I think there's people living in some kind of alternate universe, and it's only the people of Warren Point that are living in reality. This smell just it's not going to go away. If anything, it's getting worse. I think it's got to the point now where this light, the Regen's license has to be revoked. And if we've made some kind of agreement, if planning have made a signed a contract of some kind with Regen that they can't get out of, we need to be honest with the public about that, if that's true or not. But this situation can't go on any longer. Chair, businesses are getting sick of it, residents, and now the tourists are coming in and they're smelling it. And it's mortifying. This waste should never have come to Warren Point. It's Warren Point Port is too close to the residents. You could literally throw a stone from Warren Point Harbour Authority, and it's a stone throw away from all the residents. The doors of Warren Point Harbour Authority open out onto Warren Point Square. That's how close it is. It's a deal that should never have been done, and it's mortifying, and it's one of them things that should never have happened in Warren Point. So I support Councillor Rowan, and I think we need to get the minister into this council chamber. We need to get it happening immediately. Thank you, sir.
Councillor Gibbons, is everybody in agreement with that proposal? Yep. Any other matters with the letters of correspondence? Can we have a proposer and a seconder? with correspondence. Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, listen, sort of declare just I'm a member of that board, but I need to choose my words carefully here, but just to reassure my two Clotleave colleagues, and indeed yourself and the rest of the members, there has been major developments over the past number of weeks, and I think there a resolution has been found that everybody can live with, but I'm not permitted to see anything else just at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finlay. Can I have a proposer and a seconder and look to the correspondence, please?
Proposed, Chair.
Professor Rice, seconder. Professor King, thank you. Moving on to item 12 on the agenda, notice of motion, President of Ireland. Professor Sharp, would you like to speak to your motion? Tell us who's seconding. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So, motion reads, this council fully acknowledges the outstanding 14 years President Michael D. Higgins has served his country and the people of this island, championing equality, inclusion, human rights and civic ethics, often speaking out on social justice and global solidarity. He notably undertook the first ever state visit by an Irish president to the UK in April 2014, marking a significant step in post-Troubles reconciliation and international diplomacy. This council will write to President Higgins to thank him for his commitment, passion and duty of service to the people across his island. Chair, the motion speaks for itself in a sense, but I will add context given the flurry of speakers that have come behind me. So hopefully they're all coming in to speak in good faith of President Higgins. And obviously the candidates for the next president is becoming even more interesting. So over the next couple of weeks, it'll be interesting to see what other additional names come out of the woodwork and to see what happens. But I can confirm I'm definitely not putting my name in the hat like a few others have done. So, but Chair, just on President Higgins, you know, it's really emphasizing of his commitment to peace and reconciliation, but also respect of diversity, you know, and I mentioned it in the motion because I think it's really important to highlight the fostering of such a strong relationship with the UK. You know, he was the first to ever visit the state by an Irish president. But also he welcomed the Queen, the late Queen, who visited Ireland in 2011. But also he further extended the arm of diplomacy when he attended Charles's coronation only a couple of years ago. But his real passion came out when he was champion of culture and the arts and was extremely actively supportive of the Irish language communities and cultural festivals, an advocate for social justice and equality. And if you're an advocate real watcher on Instagram, you'll see him speak extremely passionate against the real social injustice and inequality that people are facing right across the world right now. And you know, particularly in Palestine and Gaza, he has been extremely vocal in that. But I would also say that he is one of the most environmentally conscious Irish presidents, and that's not just through his presidency of 14 years. He has done that throughout his career. So I think it's really important that, you know, as a council, we do recognise his 14 years as president. And it's an interesting fact that I was told that the Irish president sends a lovely letter if you're 100, just like the King of Great Britain does. But the Irish government also sends 2,000 euros on your 100th birthday. And that's for everyone of every background, both north and south, east and west of the island. And I believe, and I may steal the thunder of my seconder, but when you're 101, you get a silver medal, and then maybe in your 102nd year, which I'll probably never see, it might just be a letter at that point, but I think that really speaks volumes on that. But yeah, Chair, happy to move the motion, and Councillor Terry Andrews will be seconded.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sharman. Councillor Andrews, would you like to speak to the motion?
Well, thank you very much, and it gives me a great honour and a privilege to second the motion. And I agree very much with the sentiments of Councillor Sharman extolling the virtues of President Michael D. Higgins, who for 14 years served with distinction in his role as President. Over the 14 years, he proved himself to be a servant of all and master of none who reached out to everyone. And as Councillor Sharman mentioned in his speech, he recognising special milestones in people's lives from 100 right up to 105. If you lived to 105 each year, you would have got a letter and an acknowledgement from President Higgins recognising that milestone and that special occasion. You know, and even he paid tribute to our own Councillor Dermot Curran, who reached 50 years as a full councillor. You know, when he leaves office, he will be sorely missed, and he will leave behind a legacy of almost 40, he entered the Dáil in 1981, so with almost 44 years of service as a TD, Senator and Minister for Arts, Culture and the Gaeltacht, and then ended up as President of Ireland. So I'd like to take the opportunity and seconding Councillor Sharvin's motion that I may wish President Higgins and Sabrina a long and happy retirement, and thank you on a job well done.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor King?
Thank you, Chair. And yes, there's no doubt Michael D. Higgins has been an exceptional President of Ireland. Throughout his presidency, he has demonstrated a supreme ability to represent the views of the Irish people and the nation, at home and overseas. He has been our champion of Irish culture throughout his life, and he brought that into the Oras. Likewise, he has been a champion of workers' rights and economic equality, with one of the standout events being the opening of Connolly's Visitor Centre on the Falls Road. He was the first Irish president to pay a state visit to Britain, aiding in reconciliation on the island and improving relations between these islands. President Higgins wasn't afraid to use his office to stand up to the Irish government or to represent the views of our citizens internationally. He famously described the South's housing crisis as a great failure, a disaster, and challenged right-wing economic policies. President Higgins has also been a fearless champion of the people of Palestine. He has been a constant voice for peace and freedom in Palestine, and we hope he will continue to use his voice when he leaves the Oras in the autumn. We wish President Higgins and his wife Sabina all the very best for the future, and hope they enjoy their retirement together. We also hope that the next presidential election will be the last that excludes and disenfranchises citizens here in the North. The President is a representative of all citizens on this island and should rightfully be elected by them all. Irish citizens in the North are Irish where they reside and should be able to exercise all rights that come with that citizenship where they reside. It's long past time for presidential voting rights to be extended to the people of the North. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. This motion referenced the President of Ireland. The President of Ireland is not my presidency, is not. It's the President of the Republic of Ireland. And he talks about the people of Ireland. The people of this island, they exactly read what's in the motion. Disappointed at Gareth Sharman talking about the King, who is his King, just the same as he is mine, of the United Kingdom. Just on that, he's not my president, the President, Michael D. Higgins. He's done quite a bit of work, yes. He talks about equality, inclusion and human rights. Where he really has let himself down is whenever he failed to actually come on the 100th anniversary to Northern Ireland, to the Cathedral in Armagh, and failed to attend that service. Say that he just actually let himself down a bagful, say is, and he lost a lot of respect from within the unionist community. And he has not pulled it back, say he hasn't. So in that way, we in the DUP will definitely not be supporting this motion, so we'll not. And we're requesting a vote on it, so a recorded vote. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Lee Sargeant.
Thank you, Chair.
Well, we warmly support this motion and join in recognising the remarkable contribution that President Higgins has made over the past 14 years. His presidency has embodied the values of equality, diversity and inclusion, values which underpin a shared and welcoming Ireland for all. Has considerably reflected the best of our collective island and our aspirations for the future. In his first speech in 2011, he captured his vision so powerfully. I love our shared island and its core decency. I love it for its imagination and its celebration of the endless possibilities of our people. That sentiment continues to resonate today as we strive together to build a society that embraces diversity, nurtures creativity, and ensures every person feels valued and included. Thanks. Mr. Blasey?
Thanks. I'll just echo what Councillor Hannah has said. I actually met President Higgins and his wife back in 2011 when he first came into office, and I thought he was pleasant enough. But as I say, that was until a few years ago when President of the Republic of Ireland was invited to an NI centenary event in the Armagh Cathedral. And what was his response effectively? I'm not coming to Northern Ireland unless the Unionist referred to me as the President of Ireland. Now, here was an opportunity. Here were Unionists reaching out the hand of friendship to the epitome of everything they oppose constitutionally and being met with that sort of arrogance. Imagine if there was a major Irish anniversary in Dublin and King Charles III refused to accept the invitation unless Republicans in the South referred to him as the King of the entire British Isles. You'd be aghast to then find a council motion describing him as a man of inclusivity and equality. So I have no problem giving due credit to foreign heads of state, but as a unionist, I won't be supporting a motion describing President Higgins as a man of, global solidarity when he couldn't even show it a few miles north of his own country. I may add, this is a man that championed the Good Friday Agreement, that recognised Northern Ireland, that the surrender of the Republic's claim over Northern Ireland, and then he demands that Unionists in Northern Ireland, of all people, not only effectively call him their head of state, but that they drop the term Northern Ireland from a Northern Ireland centenary event on what is their most significant anniversary to date. That's not respect. It was shameful. And it certainly wasn't inclusive. Thank you.
Councillor Andrews?
Yes, in relation to Dunracht near and under the unwritten constitution of the United Kingdom, the President will act upon the advice of his government, and his government, and the same government that advises His Majesty the King, will advise the head of state and also the government. There is an unwritten convention that the President and also the King acts on the advice given by his ministers. So I would disagree strongly with what you've said, Councillor Bowsey, because at the end of the day, the President and the King are bound by the Republic's case by a written constitution and by constitutional convention in the United Kingdom, that they're bound by the advice of their ministers. So I'm sure in a personal capacity, I'm not speaking for him, he would like to went, but he's bound by his ministers, the same as the King.
Councillor Andrews, Councillor Lewis.
Chair, thank you. It's just a few points to note that the SDLP like to regard themselves as the protectors and the guardians of the Good Friday Agreement. But here we see a prime example of how certain parties believe that the agreement can be chopped and changed or moved around or interpreted in a different way to suit the agenda that they're currently pushing. My question would be around the laws and the legalities behind putting this actually in place. Has there been any work done on that at all? Or is this simply a soundbite that's been brought here tonight without any background? For example, if we're taking part in an election to appoint the head of state of a different, legally separate
to jurisdiction. How does electoral fundraising work? How does electoral law work in terms of postal voting? You know, you have two separate laws and two separate realities of how that vote is conducted. No, you're right. It's not in the motion. So that simply means that the motion is just a soundbite motion without any of the legislative groundwork done in behind it. And basically, all we're looking at here tonight is a story that unionist vote no, nationalist vote yes. That's all this motion will ever be.
Mr. Reddy.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, Chairman. You know, Michael D. Higgins used to talk about a new Ireland where Britishness would be cherished and all this nonsense. And then when it comes to the bit where he could come and even acknowledge, if not respect, the unionist tradition in this island, he refused to do it. And he, just a nasty, condescending little man that I can see. That's the way I gathered him up this last few years. I initially thought he was a nice, jovial type of person, but he was actually very smug and condescending towards the unionist community in Northern Ireland. And I certainly have no respect for the man whatsoever. Not only that, he's destroyed Ireland's reputation across the United States with the way he has condemned Israel. And I'm no massive friend of Israel. I know how emotive that it is for what's happened to the Palestinian people. It's a disaster, an absolute disaster. But if Michael D. Higgins thinks that B.B. Netanyahu is going to take any notice of him, he's absolutely, fooled himself. So why put your own country under pressure economically and damage relations with the United States, the single biggest trade partner, by saying the stupid things that he did, being so antagonistic towards the Jewish people? But as I said, I have no love for the man whatsoever.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, Chair, I suppose just, I wasn't actually going to come in on this item, but just some of the last commentary. You know, words are important, and that's what we've always been taught. Jovial, nice, smug, little, stupid, antagonistic. Like, I mean, seriously, so disrespectful. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, Chair, thanks. It is a bit disappointing to hear some of the commentary. Because obviously we live in a society that we should respect everyone's differences. And, you know, people can have a difference of opinion to me, to anyone else, but we should be respectful of that. And, you know, some may not think that what they say in this chamber doesn't travel outwards, but it does. And people pick up on it and they listen to it and, you know, may even believe in some of the words that some people say. But I'm slightly confused, and taking, like, I certainly hope Councillor Lewis knows me long enough to know that I don't just come here for soundbites. I've never been known to do that. I might say the odd comment to encourage debate, shall we word it that way, but certainly don't do it for soundbites. Our press, you know, after nearly 14 years as the councillor, that you don't need to do it. You do the work and people will elect you. But I was confused of where he was going about legislation, because the news motion doesn't talk about it. I think he's referring to Councillor King's comments where legislation would be needed, but that's not in the body of the motion. And it's recognising a milestone, as we have done in other motions in this council, of recognising the coronation of King Charles. I've given full title. I did acknowledge the Queen. I said the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, the late Queen Elizabeth. But the other part that I take a bit of laughter at is when they say about the agenda, you know, is this soundbite? Well, you only have to look last week where Nigel Farage tells us, oh, let's rip up the Good Friday Agreement and Northern Ireland won't be at the forefront of it. So that certainly sounded like a soundbite, and that he didn't care about this part of the region if he was ever to become Prime Minister. So, Chair, the purpose of this was to acknowledge 14 years and longer of someone that has worked for the community, across the community and across the island. And that's all the aim of it was, but a record of votes has been requested, so I'm happy to put it to that.
Thank you, Councillor Sharkin.
Yeah, quite a few. Oh, no.
Okay, so since we're not in agreement, we'll go to a recorded vote.
Councillor Andrews?
For the motion.
Councillor Bisey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Fahan? Councillor Finn's absent. Councillor Gobray? Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah? Councillor Hart's absent. Councillor Harding? Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Howey?
For.
Councillor Jackson is absent. Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
For.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mathers?
For.
Councillor McAteer McAvoy are absent. Councillor Herr?
For.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
For.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
For.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
For.
Councillor Quinn? For. Councillor Riley? Councillor Rice? Councillor Wan?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Taylor is absent. Councillor Tinnelly?
For.
Councillor Treesdale is absent. Councillor Young? That's 34 and 4 against. No abstentions.
Thank you very much. That motion is carried. Councillor Sharp, would you like to sum up?
I think I preempted the sum up, Chair, before the vote, so I'm happy to move that the motion's been passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sharp. Yeah, moving on to item number 13 on the agenda, notice of motion, resurfacing and long-term repair of Main A route between Kilkeel and Newcastle. Councillor Devlin, would you like to speak the motion and inform us as to your second?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So, noting with concern the ongoing deterioration of the Main A route between Newcastle Kilkeel and on to Restrepo, recognising the strategic importance for local businesses, residents and the tourism economy, and expressing frustration at the continued lack of proper resurfacing, this Council agrees to write the Infrastructure Minister, Liz Timmins, NLA, to request that the road be prioritised for full resurfacing and long-term repair. And my morning's colleague, Councillor Hannah, will be supporting seconding the motion, Chair. So, the route between Newcastle and Kilkeel is one of the main arterial routes in our district, linking two of the most important towns in our district and connecting many thousands of residents. The route is used by commuters, visitors and locals alike. Given the nature of the moorings, this route is also utilised by heavy vehicles such as tractors, numerous bus routes and lorries from many agriculture and industrial businesses. It's fair to say this route must be maintained to the highest standards, but is this really happening? At the beginning of this year, 2 kilometres of road between the edge of Kilkeel and Ballymartin was closed while resurfacing could take place. This was something that was much needed and appreciated, and we're all able to see the benefits of it now that it's completed. However, the result of the road closure meant that those who were diverted had to travel out the quarter road ahead running Carnegie Road, which was frustrating. This only emphasised the need to have the main route open and available to all. This resurfacing scheme was a significant investment, but only covered a small portion of the overall route, or indeed some of the worst parts of the A2, with Glasdrumman suffering particularly bad at present. Many will say that the department does not have the money to carry out the necessary resurfacing, including the department's own minister. However, this is important. In the last 5 years, the Department for Infrastructure has paid out over $32 million in claims for compensation and associated costs resulting from the poor state of our road network. Almost $8 million of that, so 1/8, not 1/11, as you'd expect, has been spent on claims from Newry, Mourne and Down. This should paint a really stark picture for us all that our roads are in a dire strait. We need the Minister to take real and meaningful action to address this. In December of last year, the SDLP warned the Department that the Cassie Water Bridge was at major risk, our warning was ignored. Look at what happened there just recently. After the 2023 flood, we saw the Clohan Road closed for many, many months, despite this not being required for the entire period. And we're seeing similar just outside Hilltown, where a temporary traffic light system has been in place for almost 2 years now. Until the Minister and the Executive get to grips with a crumbling road network, then we're only going to see cases such as this repeated. We cannot allow this to happen to the main road into and out of Mourne. The SCLP want this council to give voice to the many thousands of local residents across Mourne who want to see our roads fixed and brought up to the standard that they need and deserve. Chair, as Councillor Hannah will be seconding it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Laura, for bringing forward this motion. I know Laura is a Castle Wallingian, but I'm sure she's on the road many of times. So she has to Kilkeel. The A2 in particular from Kilkeel, or from Newcastle to Kilkeel, from Kilkeel to Restrava, is so essential, it's unbelievable. And myself personally, I worked in the motor trades I have since I was 16 years of age, which is about 40 odd years ago, so it is now. And I don't believe there's one corner on that road that I haven't recovered a vehicle from, so I haven't. And whenever Laura mentioned this motion to me, I sat down and started thinking about it. And on that road, they talk about the A5 being a deadly road. The A4 or the A2 from Newcastle, I can start thinking about accidents and fatalities as I come up that road. And I can think of so many. I stopped counting at 45, so I did 45 fatalities. So, to be quite honest with you, it's just horrendous it is. Now, just on this, the roads, that particular road from Newcastle to Kilkeel has been slightly improved, so it has. As Laura says, it needs resurfacing, so it is. I'm just going to highlight this here now, and Sinn Féin have had the ministry, so they have for a considerable amount of time. And they must carry some of the responsibility here. Just the Amforsyth MLA has been consistently raising the need for urgent attention to the A2 in Newcastle to Kilkeel Road and on to Restrava over recent years. And as Colin McGrath has been doing the same, so he has, highlighting the same problems, so he has, directly with the infrastructure. And following the persistence of the likes of Diane and Colin, the Minister approved two blocks of resurfacing work from Asda out of Ballymartin in the past 24-25 year, and I tell you, this was unplanned works. And as Laura said as well, the road, we lost the road coming into Kilkeel there because of the severe flooding, and the road just caved in. The road at Gavel's Garage there, as Laura mentioned too, was lost. Over the mountains there at Hilltown, the road is still not fixed. It took ages even to get the others to sort it out. But the one in Kilkeel now was sorted. This road is so important to the community. I cannot even describe it, so I can. And Minister O'Dowd, now to be quite honest with you, did respond, so he did. And to be quite honest with you, he did say he was going to do inspections. And I'm going to ask Laura for a slight amendment to the motion there in a few moments. It's just a response from the Minister without advice in a letter on the 17th of December that the A2 would be inspected against DFI's limited service policy with defects meeting intervention level taken forward in that repairable year. When Sinn Féin reshuffled their infrastructure ministers earlier this year, Deanne sought an update on this inspection, and in response, Minister Cummins said disappointingly, yet maybe predictably blamed the British government on austerity and showed no commitment to our predecessor's commitment and to full inspection to drive improvements on the road. It is disappointing. John O'Dowd realised after speaking to people up around our part of the world the severity of this, how dangerous this particular road was. To this, Laura, I'm asking you for a slight amendment. I haven't got the thing in front of me. But just after court says, on your motion there, after proper resurfacing, I would like to, just a slight amendment, change there. After proper resurfacing, I would like to add in full inspection and the need for repairs and updates, especially widening at the Ballock. There's pinch points along there. It's only a few words, Laura, but they're quite nasty there. So there are two lorries meet there. It's nearly a collision all the time, so it is. But just, I hope everybody will suspect, and I'm trying not to really attack any party on this, because I know money's tight in one thing or another, but the A2 is a road of death, so it is. so dangerous. The road needs a massive upgrade, said those, Laura. You know, it really does, and I'm sure you're agreeing with me, and Colin will agree too. I'm just on the state of the road. See, from the Valley Road just outside Ballymartin up into Ballymartin, where there's been so many fatalities. That road's infrastructure there was built at the time of the famine. That's how long ago that was built. And to be quite honest with you, to be dependent on that type of infrastructure, it's just simply wrong. This massive injection of money needs to be put into that road. It's so important for the economy, so it is. It's so important for safety in particular and the prevention of any further loss of lives. I don't want to see anybody else killed. I know there'll be smaller accidents, and maybe I benefit from them, so I do. But at the same time, when I start driving down that road, there's not a corner on it I haven't picked somebody up in a car, and it's so, so sad, so it is. It's unbelievable. I'm sorry I've spoken so long on it, Chair, but I do feel passionately about this here, and if Laura would accept that slight emotion, that amendment there, just after where it says, after proper resurfacing, I would just add in full inspections, the need for repairs and upgrades, especially widening up the Ballack.
I think somebody's shouting it, Chair.
The amendment.
Yes, thank you very much, Councillor Hannah. I'm happy to accept and hear in the motive issue for yourself. Councillor Rice.
Gormie, I'll get Chair, and thank you, Councillor Dalton, for bringing this motion. Dealing with issues regarding potholes, road defects and road safety are part and parcel of being a councillor. Main A2 road from Newcastle to Kilkeel and on to Restrever is essential for the economic life of rural towns and villages. With the recent road closure following the near subsidence of the Cassie Water Bridge, which I brought to the attention of the department on the Tuesday evening and had it closed the following Wednesday, caused huge chaos for workers and families travelling to work. However, regards this particular route, Laura, you have acknowledged that there has been a significant resurfacing works carried out in recent times along this coastal route. As has been already mentioned, in April 2025, the department completed the asphalt resurfacing along the stretch of the main A2, completing nearly 4 kilometres of road resurfacing from Kilkeel into Ballymartin. This work finished off a scheme of work along the main A2, which was sincerely welcomed for, it was sincerely welcomed for local residents and commuters. But, of course, there still is work to be carried out, and there is parts that need improvement. What I would say is, looking over at the construction of the Narrow Water Bridge, which has been funded by the Irish Government Shared Island Unit, it's hard not to look over in envy. But the reality is that when the Southern Government are squabbling over how to spend their surplus budgets, Stormont departments continue to be underfunded below our need. So, in welcoming Laura's motion, I look forward to working with stakeholders to continue on the work of this continue to work on this important key coastal route. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Councillor Reddy.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, a number of years ago, myself and Glenn brought forward a notice of motion that the Mourne's DEA be moved into the Eastern Division because the Southern Division just basically ignore the road between Restrever and Newcastle. And it was accepted through councils, but I remember the Divisional Roads Manager whenever we were at our quarterly meeting, and we pointed out the number of fatalities in that road and how it's an essential economic artery into Kilkeel that now has the biggest harbour in Ireland, the aerospace industry and growing engineering industries. And he just said it wouldn't be worth it. That was the words he said back to me. It wouldn't be worth it. And I was so incensed, Chairman. But even the maintenance that's done on the road is non-existent. And Glenn, myself and Dan Forsyth got a senior road service manager into a car and driven down that road. And we took him to a place broken, the lorry people call it Broken Spring Corner, past Glasdrummond towards Newcastle. And because lorries, whenever they're on that section of road, they actually have to go into the other lane or they'll break a spring if the lorry's loaded. That's how bad that road is. And speak to anybody in a camper van or caravans that want to come up to Kilkeel. The A2 actually puts them off. And lorry drivers, bus drivers, continually complaining
that the wing mirrors on their vehicles that cost several hundred pounds to replace are smashed continuously. And that's just neglect, that the trees and that, the bushes haven't been cut back. So there's a lot that could be done very easily if there was just a bit of commitment from the Newry Roads Office. But we seem to be the lost tribe in Mourne that we're just forgot about. And that road, as Glenn and Laura have pointed out, it is such a crucial route for us. Laura mentioned the traffic lights on the road out of Mourne into Hilltown. I'm told they're on private hire for £600 a week. And whenever I put in an FOI to road service, they said it was commercially sensitive information and they won't tell me. Now, if it was even half that, the amount of waste that's going on there is just unacceptable and nobody seems to be accountable. The chairman, certainly I support the motion very much. It's something that I've been working on since the day I was elected and it's just so frustrating that Newry Roads Office does not take us seriously. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Riley. Professor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank Laura for bringing the motion to the Chamber. Concur with the remarks already made by the various councillors. It's something that unites all the political reps in the Mourne's area, the need for the upgrade of the A2. I think we've all lobbied all ministers, all departments, and we get the standard sort of response back. The standard response comes back. If resources are made available, we will be able to carry out different schemes on the A2. So I think there's an onus, you know, on all the executive parties to ensure if the DFI minister makes requests for roads maintenance budgets that is supported at an executive level moving forward. And there's no doubt there's been cuts, you know, there's been extreme cuts to the budget over decades, underfunding to the north, coming from the British executive. It's not just the onus on in regards to ministers in the executive. We have to have adequate funding for all the departments to work with. As Michael Rice said, you know, in the south they are looking at, you know, where to put the surplus budget that they have after paying for the various public sector works being carried out in the south. And we can all see, any of us travel south can see the complete, you know, difference in quality of road surfacing in the south compared to the north. And that's not just in the road surfacing. It's road projects, it's hospitals, it's education, it's special needs. It's all these issues, pressing issues to all of our electorate that is the problem. So we either get more resources coming from the British government so we can provide good public services for our electorate and our constituents, or we indeed look at the South in regards to the model for reunification that we should be looking at, having that conversation moving forward, because I've been in this chamber for a long period of time, but I've been a councillor for over 20 years, and I've heard all these arguments all before, and that we haven't got enough money for our public resources and our services. So I think it's up to us all to do what we can, and that's what we can do, is lobby ministers, get our MLAs to be lobbying, get our MP lobbying. You know, that's all we can do. But it's clearly there is a major issue in regards to the financial model that we have to operate. Thanks, Chair.
Professor Clark. Professor Hanna? Right, Professor Clark, you're next.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Just on what Willie said there, yeah, we do need a lot more money invested into the roads network throughout Northern Ireland and especially in South Down here. But I just had to remind everybody, the south of Ireland have good roads and all. We've got money from the EU. But whenever we needed the money to invest it into the roads infrastructure and everything else here, the campaign of bombing and destruction was going on. So most of the money that was put into Northern Ireland went into reconstructing the damaged buildings and whatnot. That's where the money went. It didn't actually go, so it didn't to where it was meant to go, so it wasn't. So that's why trying to reconstruct after the destruction and bombing and winning of towns throughout Northern Ireland. That's why we are behind at this moment in time. as happens it is, Willie, you can't really dispute that. That's where the money went to. Whenever we should have been building our infrastructure, it was been wasted on the destruction of rebuilding towns and cities.
Mr. Clark?
Sure, just a brief response. In regards to that money that was used, the money was EU money to upgrade the roads in the north, but the Thatcher government took the decision. It's a political decision. They took the money that should have been for the roads in the north, and they put it into the British military apparatus. That was a political choice by the government at the time. And I think we're going off sort of message here in regards to what the original motion is about, and we shouldn't be squabbling about it. We're just stating facts. You know, Maggie Thatcher had the whole of the gas fields, you know, off Scotland, and stripped them also, and used them resources to fight the Falklands War. So we can all go into history, Glenn, but I'd rather stick on the motion.
Chair, please give me a...
You're taken away from the motion.
Yeah, just, I disagree completely with what Councillor Clark has said there. If there was no bombing and destruction in Northern Ireland, we would have been in a far better place.
Okay. Can we stick to the motion and the matter at hand, please, before we start deviating into the other areas? Councillor Bowsey?
It's just to say, Councillor Clark brought up the issue of reunification on an issue relating to roads. So that's who started it.
Councillor Devlin, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Chair. And I was going to say thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Tessin. Is everybody in agreement with the motion as it stands? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just maybe bring that up to the last conversation I was about to say. It's just so good that we're all on the same page. Like, I do very much appreciate everyone's comments. And I suppose the lives that we lost are absolutely tragic. And to hear those personal stories, Glenn, especially from you, is just beyond horrific. And details I wouldn't have been aware of, and I'm so sorry. You know, I knew the situation was bad, but hearing those lived examples is just even more harrowing. I know also just this weekend, Chair, there was a really bad car accident at the Cassiewater Bridge that I only became aware of this afternoon. And I suppose the combination of speed and our Tyrian road network really is a recipe for disaster. We're very lucky this weekend that we weren't dealing with fatalities at that really that particular spot there. And it's just so important that we all do our best to work together on such an important issue for the morn. And I know there was mention there about the UK government and how we are underfunded. And I know we are, and we're all going to obviously fight tooth and nail to get that rectified, to get what we deserve. But there are still levers within DFI that we can look at. I mean, I did mention there in my initial notes about the 4 million. I mean, the fact that there's £4 million worth of damage in our district is absolutely huge. I mean, that £4 million could go a long way in the mornings to try and make life better for a lot of people and to avoid some of the absolute tragedies we've heard about this evening. But listen, Chair, thank you for your time and everyone for their comments.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Moving on to item number 14 agenda. In line with standard number 16.1.6, this will be deferred to the SBNR. Councillor Hannah, would you like to speak to your motion and tell us if you second it?
Yeah, thank you. Notice of motion of the real living wage accreditation. So this council supports the real living wage and believes that all workers, including casual staff and agency workers, deserve fair pay that reflects the cost of living. We note Belfast City Council and Argyll North Down Borough Council are accredited real living wage employers. The executive has also formally become an accredited real living wage employer also. This means all staff, including the agency and contract workers, receive at least the real living wage above the British government's statutory minimum wage, bringing real benefits, improved staff morale, better retention, stronger recruitment, and a clear statement of commitment to fairness and workers' rights. Becoming a real living wage employer also strengthens our leadership role in promoting social value through procurement and sets a positive example for businesses and organisations across our district. Therefore, this council agrees to bring forward a plan in consultation with the FICNI and other key stakeholders to implement the real living wage across all staff categories, including casual workers and agency staff, work towards accreditation with the Living Wage Foundation, and aim to become a fully accredited real living wage employer, bring a report to council outlining costs, outlining options, costs, and a proposed timeline to deliver these changes. We believe fair pay is a foundation of dignity in work and essential to building a stronger, fairer local economy. And seconded by Councillor Murphy. Declan Murphy.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hannah. Moving on to item number 15, notice of motion, ladies with letters campaign has been deferred at the request of Councillor Flynn until the October meeting. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up this evening's proceedings. Everybody stay home.